Now, this morning, we do have local candidates who are running for Murfreesboro City School Board office, and that list of candidates includes Wesley Ballard. He is with us today. Kevin Fisher, Jeffrey Herring, Phil King, Navonda Lilly, also Nancy Rainier and Collier Smith, all with us this morning. And this morning, we're going to start off each giving the candidates 2 minutes to kind of describe who they are and where they stand, starting off with Wesley Ballard. Wesley, you are first. Good morning to you.
Good morning, and thanks for having us here today. My name's Wesley Ballard, and this is the first time for me to be running for any public office, and I'm thrilled to do that. I live in Murfreesboro, have lived here since 1983 with my wife, Zaza, for we've been married now for 37 years. My career was, I was in industry all of my life, and 32 years in industry, and then I retired from Nissan after 25 years with Nissan in Smyrna as a director of quality assurance. My sons, I have two sons, Carl and Zachary, that have gone through public schools here in Murfreesboro. They attended Bellwood and then Cason Lane and then Central Middle School. And Riverdale. My desire to be running for school board is born in the fact that I have a vast corporate background that I think can lend a balance to the school board. The school board and the administration is doing a great job, the teachers and the students. And my goal is to be there to aid with my experience in problem solving, project management, making the decision process clear and clean and set objectives for what we want to do going forward. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you today, and I look forward to the questions, and good luck to all of the candidates. They're all great candidates standing here today.
And again, that was Wesley Ballard. Next up is Kevin Fisher, who is also running for City of Murfreesboro School Board office. Kevin?
Good morning, and good morning, listeners. My name is Kevin Fisher. I'm a single parent who's raised a child on my own, served as dad and mom. I've been active in the community for more than 20 years. I work as a youth mentor at my church. I've served as a youth pastor. I've also served as a supervisor at a juvenile facility. I chose to run for Murfreesboro City School Board because I want to ensure that every child has access to the best education possible. I believe in giving parents a stronger voice in their child's education and providing more options and more choices. I don't believe in relying on gimmicks like Common Core to improve test scores. I don't believe that'll work. Dr. King said our lives begin to die the day we become silent about things that matter. Friends, your education, your children's education is important. Thank you.
Again, that was Kevin Fisher. Next up is Jeffrey Herring. Jeffrey, again, running for Murfreesboro City School Board office. Jeffrey?
Hey, Scott, thanks for having us this morning. I'm Jeffrey Herring. I've been in Murfreesboro since 1966, married to Kim Herring. Have two children, Skylar and Chandler, both products of city schools, currently at Siegel Middle and Siegel High, but they went to Siegel Elementary. I, too, am a public school child, went to campus school, Central Middle, Riverdale High, MTSU times three, still adjunct professor out there. I'm the son of two educators. My mother retired from Murfreesboro City Schools, my father from MTSU. My sister is also a teacher, as is my niece, so I'm the only one that's not full-time in the teaching profession. I chose to run for city school board simply because I'd like to serve. I considered this some number of years ago, and there were good candidates running then. There's a reason that I chose to run now. I am, however, wrapped currently this moment and have been since I chose to run in this race with seven really good candidates, all very qualified. I'm privileged to be here, and I thank you for this opportunity, Scott.
Again, that was Jeffrey Herring, and next up is Mr. Phil King. Phil?
Morning. I appreciate everybody tuning in and listening. My name is Phil King. I've lived in Murfreesboro half my life. I'm 50 years old, so I've been here 25 years. I'm married. My wife and I have two kids. We have a son and a daughter. I'm in sales with United Parcel Service, and when all my coworkers find out that I live here in Murfreesboro, they tell me that I've got it made. I live in Murfreesboro. How lucky I am, because Murfreesboro is growing by leaps and bounds, but I tell them to hang on just a second. That growth is residential and it's retail. And if anything, we need more businesses here in town. And that's what I see, too, in my job as I travel and within several counties, is the jobs or lack of jobs or lack of growth in other locations. And we do have growth here, which is good, but I firmly believe that good schools bring good jobs. And right now we do have good schools, but I think that we can help them get better because our competition are those counties that surround us that are also competing to recruit businesses. And that's what I believe is I think our schools can help us land better jobs for our citizens.
Again, that was Phil King, also running Novanda Lilly. Novanda Lilly is next. Novanda?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I actually have lived in the city of Murfreesboro for 12 years. I have 5 children. I'm married to Chris Lilly, who's the director of IT for the city of Murfreesboro. I'm running for the Murfreesboro City School Board because I'm passionate about supporting the opportunity for our youth to aid them in maximizing their learning potential. And what better way to support our community than to become a member of the city school board? During the 12 years that I've been here, I've partnered with the school system by serving on the PTO board at Cason Lane Academy. I'm a community advocate. I support the March of Dimes for County. I volunteer for Read to Succeed and support the Special Olympics. I've taught at the collegiate level. I have a master's in organizational management and a bachelor's in management and human relations. I have a broad knowledge of the school system, from raising a disabled child to the student athlete, and understand how the school system works. I'm a parent that is focused on supporting our students and teachers in the Murfreesboro community, and my human resources experience will be an asset to the board. I'm excited to be here, and good morning.
Again, that was Novanda Lilly. Next up is Nancy Rainier. Nancy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having us today. I'm Nancy Rainier. Pardon me, I get a little croaky in the morning. Sorry. I have taught in Murfreesboro City Schools for 29 and a half of my 37 and a half year career. I have a love and passion for the city schools of Murfreesboro. I have a master's degree from MTSU in library science, so I ended my career at John Pittard in the library. I am an incumbent now on the board, having taken Dennis's spot when he passed away. And then Mrs. Smith and I had to run in the next general election. So I'm here. I'm involved with education. I tutored. I visit the schools regularly. And right now I'm supervising student teachers. So my whole life's been surrounded by education. And I'd like to continue that. I hope that you'll consider me on April the 15th. Thank you.
Again, that was Nancy Rainier. And next up is Collier Smith. Again, Collier, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you to WGNS for inviting me and hosting this forum. My name is Collier Smith, and I've served on the city school board for the past 2.5 years. City Council appointed me because they wanted an active parent on the board, and they valued my commitment to all schools through the City Schools Foundation. I'm presently the only Murfreesboro City Schools parent on the board. I'm the mother of 3 children with a 2nd grader, 6th grader, and 7th grader. As an involved parent, I've served as a room mother, PTA volunteer, classroom tutor, and fundraising chair. I've served as a trustee for the City Schools Foundation since its inception. This foundation raises money for science and technology and parity in all city schools. I've worked hundreds of hours for the Schools Foundation and my own children's schools. School board has been a learning process for me. I've particularly enjoyed the experience with the other board members who know so much through their own life experiences. I believe I offer value to this board as well through my own professional background in communications and education. I do have goals for the system and hope to use my position on the school board to shape policy and the budget to work towards them. As I have said before and continue to believe, teaching is a ministry. I want to allow teachers to teach and give them time to do so. I encourage teachers to work creatively in a way that children don't just learn through textbooks, but through hands-on activities. Murfreesboro has great teachers, and I want teachers to be rewarded for their good work with praise and monetarily. I want our children with differing levels of abilities to have their needs met, whether on the lower or higher end of the spectrum. I've had 2.5 years to start a track record. I hope you find me to be honest, a hard worker, and forward-thinking. If so, I hope you will allow me, Collier Smith, to serve you on the school board for a full 4-year term.
Again, that was Collier Smith. You're tuned to WGNS. Time right now, 8:23. And I guess now what we'll do is we'll start with the questions for those who are running for City of Murfreesboro School Board office. And one of the biggest questions that we have had from a lot of people all deals with the Common Core standards. And once those are implemented, are there any changes that you will be allowed to make or any changes that you would like to make with Common Core here in the city of Murfreesboro within the schools? Who would like to answer that question? Collier Smith, stepping up to the microphone.
Well, they're already being implemented. What people seem not to be aware of is that we've been phasing this in for the last 3 years. And some of the questions are standards that we've had for quite some time. I have a second grader, and one of the standards that she's supposed to know is who, what, when, where in fiction. Now, I hope as a second grader she can pick out who, what, when, and where. So maybe some of the standards may be a little challenging, but they have been in the past, too. So maybe if they can dive a little deeper and work out how they can explain how they can figure out a math problem, great. I mean, my son actually is very bright in math, but he can give the rote answer. He can tell you what the answer is, but he needs to know how he got the answer. So that's what the Common Core does. It has them dive a little deeper. And when people move to Murfreesboro from other states, from other Common Core states, which the Common Core was adopted by governors, they can come in and kind of know exactly what's going on in the classroom instead of in talking to other teachers, and Mrs. Rainier might be able to talk about this, that they've said it's going to be so much easier when people move in. We have such a transient population for them to be able to match and just fall right into the classroom. So that's why I think Common Core is a good thing for Murfreesboro City Schools. And again, it's not something we need to adopt now. It was adopted 3 years ago.
And for this section of the program, you can use any mic you want to. That way we don't have to go back and forth. So if somebody wants to jump in on the next question, or what we'll do is we'll do one follow-up on the original question that is asked. So we'll do one follow-up on that. Would anybody like to follow up on the question of Common Core?
Sure. Kevin Fisher again. I don't agree with Common Core. I think it was a bad idea to start with. I think it's ridiculous that we have 36% of the children in the Murfreesboro City School area scoring below proficient, and now we're going to put a program in place that's going to almost automatically ensure that they're not going to do well. You have 39% of the children scoring below proficient in reading in Murfreesboro City School. I don't agree with Common Core because I don't believe in standardized testing. I don't believe they're an appropriate measure of how well a child learns. I think that a greater emphasis should have been put. Now, we've put millions of dollars in this community into building new schools, beautiful schools. We've equipped them with the latest technology. But at the same time, it's time for us to focus now on investing in our young people to ensure that they're going to get a quality education. Back when I was growing up, we were able to sit down with a pencil, a piece of paper, and work the problems out. Today, they give the kids calculators in schools, and they still get the problems wrong. So the problem isn't putting in Common Core. I mean, I think it was a bad idea. We should be focusing on ensuring that the kids are getting the fundamentals, and they're able to work the problems out, and then we start focusing.
Again, that was Kevin Fisher, and who you heard before him was Collier Smith. Right now, the time, 8:27. In just a second here, we will open up the phone lines for people to actually call in and ask questions. 893-1450 if you want to go ahead and get on board. Now, the next question we have is, what do you see as the board's roles and responsibilities? Pretty simple question. So what do you see are the responsibilities of being a school board member? All right, go ahead. Wesley Ballard with this one.
Yeah, hi, I'm Wesley Ballard. I would think that the roles and responsibilities of the school board are to look at things objectively, with caring and honesty and ethically, to make sure that every decision that goes down is made in the best effort of the students. So at the end of the day, everything comes down to what's right for the students. We have a director, we have principals and teachers, and those are the people that carry out the day-to-day operations of the schools and meet the objectives as they're set by the director of schools and enforced by supported by the school board. I'm not a micromanager. I don't believe in the school board micromanaging. I think the school board takes the big issues and sets the policy, turns it over to the director and the principals and the teachers to implement, and then we take care of the heavy lifting when it comes time for that. So,
again,
thank you.
Wesley Ballard with that response. Anybody like to do a follow-up with that one?
Scott, this is Phil King. I'd like to say what I think one of the responsibilities of the school board would be, and one of my main reasons for running, is I wanted to make myself available to anybody in town, any group, club, organization, to go and talk to them and let them know, here's what's going on in the city schools right now. Here are the things we're doing. Here are the things that we're doing great. Also, here's some of the challenges and the hurdles. And it's basically to keep people informed, the public informed, also to solicit their ideas, their suggestions, because to me, you never know where a great idea can come from. And I just think letting people know what's going on in the schools right now would be a great responsibility as a school board member.
Again, that was Phil King with that response. Now, the next question we have is, I think a lot of these are fairly simple questions, but you may have complex answers for them. You know, in today's society, some people don't seem to have the same amount of ethics that maybe they did years past. So the question is, what qualities, behaviors, and whatnot should a board member exhibit when out in public and when within the school board meetings? Anybody like to tackle that one?
I think I'll try that one. This is Nancy Rainier. As far as the qualities of a school board member, first of all, I think you put the children first above all else. To do that, you have to have a nurturing spirit. You have to care about what's going on in that school building or any of the school buildings across the city. You have to be honest. You have to be forthright. You have to be conscious of budgeting as far as what the system is doing for their budget. I guess pretty much that sums it up. I think the main thing is think of those children, make sure that you're being honest, make sure that you're being above board and transparent with everything that you do, and care most of all for the children and, of course, the teachers and the administrators.
Again, that was incumbent Nancy Rainier with that. Would anybody like to do a follow-up response on that particular question?
Yes, this is Navonda Lilly, and I'd like to say that in addition to that, board members need to be comfortable with change and tackle every problem seeking a positive solution. Be team-oriented and know how to lead or follow to get things done. To be able to stand their ground, listen, and consider every point of view, and have principals who can, the board members should be people who have principles who can be counted on no matter how difficult the task.
Navonda Lilly with that response of the follow-up. Now, one other question here we have is, what are the current challenges facing the education system, especially here in Murfreesboro? Any challenges that Murfreesboro alone faces that other communities may not face?
I'll be glad to take that first. This is Jeffrey Herring. I think one of the greatest challenges we have clearly is our growth. We've been very fortunate to have such a great challenge, but it is certainly a financial challenge, if not otherwise. How we address that in terms of building new schools and or managing our existing infrastructure and the personnel behind that, those being our two biggest financial expenses and exposures. I think going forward, we need to consider multi-location campuses where we have more than one school on one piece of real estate, and consolidate some of the internal workings at those schools, which allows us to then channel more resources into teaching as opposed to eating and playing. And I think we would find that from a fiscal perspective, we would come out well ahead.
Jeffrey Herring, with that response, would anybody like to do a follow-up with the question, does Murfreesboro in particular face any challenges with education?
Well, I agree with Jeffrey as far as this is Wesley Ballard, as far as the growth issue. And I also think that the biggest challenge is to set the long-range goal for Murfreesboro as to where we're going to be 5, 10, and 15 years from now with our students' education. And that my goal would be that our students are the best in the country. When they come out of elementary school, or when they get through with their early education, they're ready to go into the high schools with that momentum to continue to grow the school system and grow the education to the level where industries like Nissan, NHC, all of our great companies that are here are just wanting to come here because of the education base, because education is going to draw the jobs and grow Middle Tennessee.
That was Wesley Ballard with that follow-up. Now, another question we have is, we do have a new school in the city of Murfreesboro that will soon open in the upcoming school year, and that new school is more so environmentally friendly than a lot of the other schools that are currently existing in the city of Murfreesboro. If you're on the school board, if you win this election, are you going to make any plans to make some of the current schools more environmentally friendly, such as implementing geothermal heating and cooling, anything along those lines to save the city money in years to come? Nancy Rainier, again, stepping up to the microphone.
I think, Scott, that would be very difficult as far as the geothermal we know works well and saves tons of money. I think that the first year alone, as I recall at John Pittard, they saved something like 76% over what the other schools did. I'm not sure. Those figures may be wrong, but it, certainly to the point that it's really something to look at, and that's why we went with geothermal for the new school at Overall Creek. However, because you have to build all these wells underground, it would not be feasible, I don't think, to do it in an existing location. I think from this point forward, they will always probably look at that first, as long as it is viable or feasible on that piece of land. As far as what we can do to help the existing school buildings, I think that some of the programs have been started as far as changing out windows and doors, changing some of the heating and cooling systems. I know when I was at Reeves Rogers, we had those old rickety old heaters and air conditioning units that just crackled all the time that you were trying to teach. I would literally have to turn off the unit to teach and then turn it back on when the children were working independently, or we would go to lunch or whatever, because it was so noisy they couldn't hear the instruction. So a lot of those changes are taking place now, and I think will continue to take place. But as far as that geothermal, as wonderful as it is, it's not going to be able, I don't think, in my mind and from what I've heard, that they can go back and do that in an existing building.
Again, that was Nancy Rainier. Kevin Fisher now stepping up to the microphone.
I think environmental issues are important. However, I think a greater concern right now is security. I do have 18 years in the field as regards to security and law enforcement. I think that it's more important. I think Newtown, Connecticut showed us that we're very unprepared for a lot of instances. We can't prevent every potential emergency that may come up, but I think we need to be proactive and we need to be ready to respond if a situation does occur. So I think if I'm permitted to serve on the school board, I will put a greater emphasis on ensuring that the schools were secure and that our children are safe, so that they're in an environment that is safe and secure, because I think that's a priority.
Again, that was Kevin Fisher. Time right now, 8:36. You're tuned to WGNS. Temperature outside now at 43 degrees. We'll get a look at that weather forecast right now. Jennifer has the latest for us on that.
Good morning, Scott. We'll see sunny skies here for today with a high in the lower 70s and southwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy, low near 49, and winds out of the south around 5 to 10. Saturday, a chance for some showers, mostly cloudy, high around 65, and winds out of the west around 5 to 10. Then by Saturday night, rain is likely, cloudy, and a low near 42. Sunday, a chance for some rain showers, mostly cloudy skies, and a high around 52 degrees. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's a look at your forecast.
That update brought to you by Safe Auto. Safe Auto gets it. That's why they help keep you in your car with the right car insurance for the right price right now. Because at Safe Auto, what drives them drives you. 1-800-SAFE-AUTO.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
I'm Greg Tidwell.
And I'm Lisa Halliburton. Bell Jewelers welcomes you.
Get help from one of our experts at Bell Jewelers. 2 certified gemologists, 4 watch and jewelry repairmen, 11 friendly and knowledgeable staff. Bell Jewelers, voted Murfreesboro's best jewelry store for over 10 years.
Visit us at belljeweler.com. Like us on Facebook.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
At the Salvation Army Family Store, you can get bargain prices on clothes, furniture, household goods, electronics, and more. Find special savings on furniture, which is discounted 10% every 10 days it's on the floor. Keep it local. Donate here. Everything donated in Rutherford County stays in Rutherford County. The Salvation Army Family Store, where your purchases always help us help others. The Salvation Army Family Store is at 125 South Front Street, across from Captain D's on Broad. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m.
Consumer questions, money concerns, and more. This is Clark Howard, and I'll take your calls on Rutherford County's Place to Talk.
Weekdays 11 to 1 on WGNS. WGNS, Murfreesboro. It's
not a... Hi, I'm Pastor Mike Norris of Franklin Road Baptist Church. So, what are you looking for in a church? I believe the church is a critical part of life for anyone who wants to grow their personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is a place where we can open God's Word together and gain insight into how He wants us to live our lives and how He wants us to minister to those around us. It's where we can find biblical direction that will help us meet the challenges we face in today's life. It also serves as a place where we can draw strength and encouragement from other believers. But most importantly, It is a place where people can find God's purpose and plan for their lives. Here at Franklin Road Baptist Church, we want to help with your relationship with the Lord Jesus.
Visit Franklin Road Baptist Church on the internet at frbc.com. Franklin Road Baptist Church, down the street from Cason Lane on Highway 96, which is also known as Franklin Road in Murfreesboro.
If you want to get some barbecue, I tell you how to do it. Head for the Slick Pig and you're into it. Just walk through the door at 1920 East Main and your nose will send a message right to your brain.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the Catfish Special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock, $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw at Slick Pig Barbecue.
Right now the time, 8:40. We're going to open up the phone lines, 893-1450. Again, that's 893-1450. On the air with us this morning, candidates who are running for City of Murfreesboro School Board, and our guests include Wesley Ballard, Kevin Fisher, Jeffrey Herring, Phil King, Navonda Lilly, Nancy Rainier, an incumbent, and Collier Smith, an incumbent on the school board. So we'll go ahead and open up those phone lines right this minute, and we'll take the first call. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Scott. Good morning, candidates. Currently, Murfreesboro City Schools offers sixth grade on an optional basis, meaning city families can choose to attend sixth grade within the Murfreesboro City School System or go ahead and transfer to a Rutherford County School System middle school that they're zoned for. What are your opinions on eliminating the sixth grade option within Murfreesboro City Schools altogether? Thanks.
Thank you for calling. So the question is, eliminating sixth grade altogether at city schools. Would anybody like to dive into that question first? Jeffrey King stepping up to the microphone.
Jeffrey Herring, I'm sorry.
Phil
Herring and Jeffrey King.
Too many names here. Too many names here.
He's my other brother over there. I think that would be a politically hot question, but I think it certainly needs addressing. One of my children finished sixth grade at Siegel. The other chose to go on to sixth grade at Siegel Middle. So I have a perspective on both. I think from a fiscal perspective, which would be the final perspective I would have, it needs to be a decision that both the county school system and the city get together and decide permanently which will be the course of action so that from a tax-paying perspective, we first have efficient use of our tax dollars. I would tell you that if I had my choice, I would prefer to have sixth grade stay in the city school system. I think you have significant changes that go on when you get to middle school. I think sixth graders might still be at a maturity level where being in a K through six environment might be better suited for that particular maturity level. Again, fiscally, I think we have to look at it in that respect as well. And I think that touches on two different dynamics of how I would address that.
Again, Jeffrey Herring, with that response, would anybody else like to do a follow-up on that question of sixth grade students?
Actually, this is Collier Smith, and I actually have a sixth grader right now in the city schools. And I have a seventh grader in the county schools. We did the same thing, just like Jeffrey. We had one that entered the county schools in sixth grade, and we have one in the city schools in sixth grade. And honestly, I do think there's a benefit to keeping your child, an 11-year-old, in the city schools in an elementary environment. They get to be the king of the school. They have so many things they get to work up towards instead of starting over and kind of being the kindergartner of middle school, and they really have to step up and grow up in middle school. It's a big change, and it's very exciting, and they have so many different exciting projects that they can do in sixth grade. And I will say I was concerned when I joined the school board about the same issue, about the county had sixth grade and the city had sixth grade. But what I've learned is that we have many, many classrooms of sixth grade. It's not a dwindling population. It's thriving throughout the city schools. So I would advocate that we maintain it as long as we can.
That was Collier Smith with that follow-up. And here is the next question. Good morning. You're on WGNS. What kind of question have you got for us?
Good morning. My question to all candidates, are you for or against, and I'd like to answer to the for or against, would you think about consolidating the school system, Rutherford and Murfreesboro? I'll hang up and listen for your answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Again, the question is, would you consider consolidating the school systems? And let's see who wants to answer that. Wesley Ballard, go ahead.
Hi, this is Wesley Ballard again. Good question, and I haven't heard that brought up anywhere before in our forums. I would be for that, and that might be the torpedo for me, but I would be for that. And I would the previous question about the sixth grades and all the redundancy that goes on in the systems, and even getting to the earlier question about being green. I mean, how many consolidation methods can we make with school buses and schedules and such? So it seems to me, and I'm green as grass between the politics between the city schools and the county schools, so objectively I can look at it and say, you know, we've got overlap, we've got redundancies, we've got dual directors, we've got dual boards. I'd say take a look at it. It needs a hard look.
Again, that was Wesley Ballard with that. Would anybody like to do a follow-up in regards to consolidating county and city schools?
Yes. This is Navonda Lillian. I'd like to do a follow-up on that. I think that having the school system separate is good because if you look at it from a perspective of offering elementary school curriculum, and it's different when you get into middle school and high school. And so how the county is set up now, with the exception of the sixth grade, is that it gives the opportunity for the focus to be at the elementary level and then the focus to be at the middle school and high school level. The middle school transfers, they learn a skill set that prepares them for high school. So I think that my position on that will be that I think that both school boards are doing an excellent job representing the community separately, and that the focus on the elementary, and then with the city schools focusing on the elementary side, and then the Rutherford County focusing on the middle school and high school.
That was Navonda Lilly with that question. In other questions this morning, according to the Rutherford County Mayor Ernest Burgess, last year they installed a lockbox in all county schools in order to keep a secondary weapon in for the school resource officers. How would you feel about a lockbox of sorts being placed in City of Murfreesboro schools for a secondary weapon for officers to have or to use?
Ooh, this is a good one. I personally am against it. You know, when all of this happened with Sandy Hook and tragedies that have happened nationwide, I was in a classroom before the Sandy Hook, and thinking that somebody in my building might have a gun or somebody in the office might have a gun, and, you know, they can go through classes, they can be trained, but when something happens and you're in the heat of the moment or you're terrified or who knows what, or they're calling somebody to run to the office, they're leaving children alone, I think it would be a horrible situation. If we had an SRO in the building, it would be different. But we don't have SROs in the city schools. Personally, I would be against it.
Again, that was Nancy Rainier, incumbent. All right. Kevin Fisher, now at the microphone. Kevin?
I do support the idea. My dad owned guns. I've owned weapons my whole life. I believe very strongly in a contingency plan because I believe that emergency plans, you need a plan A, plan B, plan C. You know, I believe I want to ensure that we have somebody that's trained with the weapon. Like I have a certified license for my weapon. I would be in support of someone being trained so that they have an emergency response team to respond to situations if a situation occurs. Because again, we can't prepare for every possible contingency that may occur. We may not be able to plan for every possible situation that may occur. But I think it's better to be proactive. See, Newtown, Connecticut taught us something. It taught us that we're not prepared. And we need to be prepared. So I think having a lockbox for a second weapon, I think it's important that we have somebody else that's trained. Again, an emergency response team would be a great idea to ensure that children are evacuated, that, you know, the appropriate people are called, the situation is addressed immediately. I think it's a great idea.
That was Kevin Fisher with that follow-up. Let's go to the phones now and take another call. Good morning. You're on WGNS. What kind of question do you have for us this morning?
Well, I didn't really have a question. I was trying to respond to the deal with the gun in the school for extra gun for the SROs and stuff. I really don't have a question.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Our phone number here at the station, 893-1450. Now, if you do call in, please have a question ready for the candidates. Another question this morning, it is, how can you contribute to a successful board meeting for the schools? Kind of an interesting question there. How can you contribute to a successful board meeting for the schools? And Collier Smith, you look like you're stepping up to the microphone.
Well, I think Nancy Rainier and I certainly have the upper ground on this one, as we are already on the school board. And I have had to learn, you know, there are three jobs for school board members, and we need to remember that in a school board meeting. One is that we can give guidance to the director of schools, who is actually our only employee. The director of schools is our only employee. We are not the supervisors of the teachers, of the secretaries, or anyone else, just the director of schools. And then we shape the budget and we shape policy. Now, as I said before, that I do have goals for the schools, but I have to work those goals in through the policies that we go through every other week. We have two board meetings a month. One is a preparation kind of meeting, and then the other is a, you know, the real deal meeting. But honestly, they're both on TV, so they seem like to me like they're both the real deal. But I have to do my homework on studying for around the policies, and honestly, you know, since they do apply to children, I seem to have a lot of input because my kids are in the schools, and I see how they apply to the classroom. And sometimes I see after the meetings, as an after effect from the meetings, when I'm in the schools volunteering, I notice that maybe they're not being carried out exactly the way that they were intended to. Sometimes the teachers think that they have more limitations than they really have in the classroom regarding volunteers. So the policies are misunderstood, and we need to go back and make sure that they are clearly communicated. So in the board meetings, we have to do our homework. We have to make sure that we're carrying out the responsibilities that the taxpayers have given us. And then we need to make sure that they are communicated clearly to the constituents.
Again, that was Collier Smith with that response. Would anybody like to do a follow-up to that question?
I will, Scott. This is Phil King. To kind of echo a little bit of what Collier was saying and what others have said on other questions, I think some of the duties of a good school board member is a good listener, being open-minded. And whether it's the director of schools, or you're dealing with the principals, or let's say the public at large comes up and talks to you, I think you treat people with respect. Listen to their opinions, value their opinions, and treat them equally. But as we say, you know, we work with the director of schools, and our job is policy making. But I think if we listen, treat everybody fairly and with respect, I think that's something that helps out everybody.
That was Phil King with that response. Again, with us this morning, those who are running for City of Murfreesboro School Board. Another question we have here: if a policy were implemented that you were not in favor of at all, how would you go about supporting that and showing your support for that, or would you not show your support for that policy if a policy were implemented that you just did not like? Would anybody have a response to that question?
Vonda Lillian, I would like to respond to that. And I can reference being in, I serve as the talent acquisition manager for Vanderbilt University Hospital Medical Center. And anytime a policy is implemented means that we've agreed that we're going to move forward with that policy. And it's the responsibility of the board to follow suit with that policy. We may not always agree with the policies that are implemented, but once a decision has been made, we should uphold that policy as members of the city school board.
All right, would anybody else like to respond to that question in regards to policy? I don't think we have another response on that. Right now the time, 8:52, you are tuned to WGNS. We do have to take a very short break to update listeners on the traffic situation. We failed to do that in the last break, so let's go ahead and get to the traffic. Randy O'Brien has the latest for us on that.
Play it again, sports!
Your fitness headquarters.
We've got our hands on name brands like Schwinn, Horizon, Bowflex, and more. Create your own discount. Bring in your old sporting goods and walk out with new equipment.
Play it again, sports!
On Thompson Lane.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning. Looking good in Murfreesboro. No reports of accidents or incidents. I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231, I-24 at Medical Center Parkway. With busy traffic, but no accidents. Broad at Church, Broad at Memorial, also busy. I-24 headed into downtown. Looks like we've got some slowdown around Hickory Island Parkway, Bell Road. Dr. Landsberg at Rivergate Sports Medicine Orthopedic Surgery has performed thousands of arthroscopic knee and shoulder surgeries over the past 20 years. Call 264-4785 or go online to drlandsberg.com. www.rutherfordcollision.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Murfreesboro Collision Center, serving Rutherford County since 1989. Get a free estimate on your fender bender today.
Hi, I'm David Ward. Here at Murfreesboro Collision Center, we use OEM parts to bring your car back to OEM specs.
Murfreesboro Collision Center has a long tradition of serving local residents.
At Murfreesboro Collision Center, the average repair usually takes less than 3 days.
Murfreesboro Collision Center, on Broad, at Northfield, behind Ford of Murfreesboro.
Bud's Tire Pros is part of the nation's premier network of independent, locally owned and operated tire dealers. You'll get reliable service and better prices in addition to great brands like Michelin and BF Goodrich Tires through their exclusive promotions and rebates you won't find anywhere else. All tires and automotive service, including brakes and alignments, are backed by the nationwide warranty, including free roadside assistance with every purchase. For local service you can trust, visit Bud's Tire Pros, located in Murfreesboro, or call 896-TIRE. That's 896-8473.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by Omniot Restaurant in Smyrna, the Rutherford Home Shop, Saturdays at noon on WGNS, and AmeriCare Pest Control.
Hello, I'm Dave Gober with FNB Mortgage.
And Dean Higby with South Branch Nursery.
Be sure to tune in every Saturday for the Rutherford Home Show, presented by Old South Properties.
We are joined each week by local professionals to give helpful information about your home and the local community.
We also give you local real estate stats and rate information.
Join us here on WGNS for the Rutherford Home Show.
Saturdays at noon with Dean Higby and Dave Gober here on WGNS.
Now let's check some of the WGNS Good Neighbor events. The 5th annual Backstage Bash to benefit the Murfreesboro Center for the Arts is coming up Saturday night, March 29th. A variety of Saturday Night Live characters will be there keeping you laughing throughout the evening, plus the great dance music of the Pilots. College Street, in front of the Center for the Arts, will be closed to traffic, while a giant tent covers this gala. That's Saturday night, March 29th. Phone 904-ARTS for information. Hey, here's a fun event. The 5th annual Paws and Pearls to benefit the Beasley Animal Humane Foundation. It's Thursday night, May the 8th. And this year, it's at the historic 1829 home of Charles Reedy Sr., a state commissioner and former Murfreesboro mayor. Did you know that? The home is now owned by Karen and Bob Ford, and they're the new owners of the Reedyville Mill, just about a block away. And the Short Mountain Distillery folks are going to be there, too, along with music from the Eclectics. An evening of fun, Thursday night, May the 8th, the 5th annual Paws and Pearls. For information, call the Jesse C. Beasley Animal Humane Foundation. And those are WGNS Good Neighbor Events.
Get your Good Neighbor Events to us in writing 2 weeks before they occur. We'll put them on the radio and the internet. WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Right now the time, 8:57, temperature outside now at 52 degrees, so yes, heating up quite a bit right now in Rutherford County. This morning we're talking with those who are running for City of Murfreesboro School Board, and our guests include Wesley Ballard, Kevin Fisher, Jeffrey Herring, Phil King, Novanda Lilly, Nancy Rainier, and Collier Smith. And again, Nancy and Collier are both incumbents on the school board. Time once again, 8:57. Our phone number, 893-1450, if you have a question for those who are running for school board. Now, here's a tough question for you. Do you support the constitutional provision for separation between church and state? And what specifically do you think that means for the public school system? I know that's kind of a tough one. Anybody like to grab that one? Somebody's got to answer that question. Come on. It's not that difficult. Listen. Kevin Fisher, stepping up to the mic again.
Well, that's a tricky question. I don't believe in separation of church and state to a large extent, because what I believe is that I believe that everyone should be involved in education, whether they come from the church, whether they come from the community. You know, I believe everyone working together can ensure that a child does well. So I don't believe that it's appropriate for us to limit the input, whether it's by a church or whether it's by a pastor, whether it's by a business owner. So that's a tough question. I'll see if someone else can answer. But I myself personally, I don't believe that we need to exclude Jesus Christ from the school system. I believe when I was organizing a program, they told me I couldn't put up a flyer a few years ago because I had a picture of Christ on the front of it. I think to step away from the ideals and the values that we've embraced as a community for more than, you know, since going back to its inception, I think is wrong. You know, God's been very important in my life, and I thank him for all the blessings he's given me. So I'd have to say no. I don't believe in a separation.
That was Kevin Fisher. Anybody else like to?
This is Navonda Lillian. I would say no as well. I do believe that we would have to embrace all religions by implementing a policy and procedures that will provide some structure and guidance, because we just can't have it open with no structure. I think that the... I am in support of having the church and state together, but there has to be some way to regulate that and ensure that the diverse religions are supported within the school system.
Again, that question was, do you support the constitutional provision for separation between church and state? And what specifically do you think that means for public schools is what that question was. Our number 893-1450, the person who just answered that follow-up question was Navonda Lilly. Now, another question we have here, as individuals, children are allowed to pray in public schools. Should the right be expanded in any way within public schools? Wesley Ballard.
Hi, Wesley Ballard. Yes, I believe the children should have the right to pray. The schools should support everyone's individual religious right to pray, in be that in silent prayer, be that in the football coach having a prayer before the game, any of those events where someone is moved to make a prayer. Those that aren't involved in the, if they're not Christian and they want to remain silent, then that's fine. I agree with that. But I think that certainly we don't need to blanket eliminate prayer from school.
Would anybody like to do a follow-up in regards to that question about prayer in school? Collier Smith is...
To go back to the previous question, this is Phil King, and this question, and I'll just put it very simply. As far as the Constitution goes, I think we were founded on freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And I think there is a balance where we can work something in our schools working together.
Collier, go ahead. I know you were about to step to the microphone.
Well, I was, and I agree with Mr. King and what he said on that question. In the sixth grade curriculum for the state, in the textbook they have for the city and the county schools, they have a very thorough history of the beliefs of the five major religions. And honestly, I have to tell you, I learned a lot reading through my child's textbook with that. And I do think that if children want to have time to pray silent to themselves and to whomever, that is great. That is what our country was founded on. And I personally, I have to say, I have learned from many people from different religions, and it makes me value my own self and my own beliefs as a Christian. But I think that we can learn, and our children can learn, from the history behind all of the other religions.
That was Collier Smith with that. Now, another question we have this morning for our city school board candidates is in regards to school bullying. School bullying has been a big problem over the last couple of years, and really over the last 5 years, we've seen school bullying implemented actually from home via social media with Instagram and Facebook. Even though kids who are under the age of 13, I don't believe, are supposed to be on Facebook, you still see a problem with that on Facebook. How would you follow up with the policy of school bullying within our city school system? Would you make any changes at all?
This is Navonda Lilly. We currently have a program in the school system where our students go through a bullying program, and it brings their awareness and understanding and provides them with examples of what bullying is. And so I would say that we're doing an awesome job by educating our kids to prevent bullying in the school system and giving them avenues on how they report that to their teachers and how the teachers actually will resolve that. So I think throughout the school system, the Murfreesboro City School Systems, we're doing a great job with addressing bullying in the school system.
Anybody else like to follow up on the school bullying? And that was, by the way, Navonda Lilly with that response. Nobody else on that.
What was the second part of your question?
In regards to school bullying, are there any changes that you would make within the next couple of years on the policies right now?
Well, I think that what Ms. Lilly said is absolutely accurate. We do have a policy in place. We do have training for the children. I think that the issue with the first example that you gave about using Facebook or using social media, that's a difficult situation, but I think that is under the parents' control. The parents need to police what their children are doing online, and if it's creating a situation of bullying, to me, that would be the parents' responsibility. The schools can't control what's going on at home. So I think that our policies are in effect. I think we have a good program. I think that we're doing what we need to be doing as far as the school system goes.
Right now, the time, 9:04. That was Nancy Rainier, incumbent on the school board. We'll go ahead and take another phone-in question. Good morning. You're on WGNS. What kind of question have you got for us this morning?
I was calling in for Dan.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Well, hold on just a minute there. Right now, the time, once again, 9:05, he was calling in for Dan Whittle. Dan, I don't think, is running for school board. So, Dan.
Go, Dan, go.
In other questions this morning, one of the questions deals with the zero tolerance, which is in a lot of schools right now. You even heard stories in the past of kids who are being suspended because they maybe turn their sandwich into what looks like a gun by biting out around the edges of the sandwich. Just silly things like that, and then being expelled or suspended because of that. How do you feel about zero tolerance issues within the city school system right now? Jeffrey Herring is stepping up to the microphone.
I think the word that you characterized, the word you used, silly, is the way I would characterize some of those descriptive ways that we address that. I do think it's beyond punitive when a young man or young lady carries their small pocket knife innocently and possibly forgetfully to school and is expelled or at least removed from school for a significant number of days. When I was in school, that was almost part of what you wore. That was part of your wardrobe. I think we have certainly tipped the scale where we're overly concerned about safety, and we're not looking at the practical side of, is that something that was truly meant by that student to be used as a bully, to be used in a forceful manner that would not be accepted by anyone? Or was that simply an innocent mistake? And trying to define between the two, each situation would have to be held to its own merits. I don't think there is a black and white hard line in the sand, if you will, where you can measure the punitive actions that currently exist by policy and whether those are effective.
That was Jeffrey Herring with that. Would anybody like to do a follow-up on the zero tolerance issue? We don't have a follow-up there. 9:07 right now is the time, and I should have stated we are going over to 9:20, which goes over into Truman's show. So there is a little lapse here, and Truman's show will be on at 9:20 this morning. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yes, I have had to step away from the radio for a bit, so you may have answered this. I was just calling to see when the new overall Creek School will open, and also are there any plans for the building of new high schools in the county? And I'll hang up and listen.
It sounds like that's more of a county question with the high schools, but as far as Overall Creek, does anybody have the date handy for when that's going to open?
We don't have the exact date, but it is online for the fall. So the end of July or beginning of August, whatever our start date is, that school is supposed to be open and ready to go.
Probably don't have, or we do have a follow-up with that. Yeah. Coyer?
I went to visit actually with your father last week to the construction site for Overall Creek. It is a beautiful building, and we're going to open it up with about 450 students. And I'm really excited about Principal Don Barsh. He is going to incorporate more environmental learning, which, and I love to take things, learning outside, to apply it outside of the textbook. And he's going to take advantage of the location with the facility being on Overall Creek. And he wants to have environmental stations and do things like have the children adopt a tree for the school year and learn all the aspects of that tree and have different stations that they will learn about the ecosystem around the creek. So Overall Creek is going to be a wonderful asset. Now, it's going to grow. It can hold to nearly 1,000 people, but the first year it'll start out with 450 students.
Again, that was Collier Smith. Right now the time 9:09. Phil King has a...
Hey Scott, real quick, when the caller mentioned the word dates, and we haven't mentioned this yet, early voting starts March 26th and it goes until when? April
10th.
April 10th. March 26th through April 10th is early voting. And Election Day is Tuesday, April 15th. So I knew we hadn't even mentioned the dates of the election. I wanted the listeners to know that really next week early voting starts.
Perfect. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Is that me?
That is you. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I think it's important for all the teachers to know and maybe take a class on ADHD. ADHD, I think I'm saying that right. My child suffered with that quite a while. He went to Reese Rogers, and the teacher there told me that, oh, no, it's not ADHD. I've been around that. He got the Siegel. They had a meet with me, and it was ADHD. And, you know, I think all the teachers and the school board or whoever ought to know about that. But the lady that taught there at Reese Rogers sitting in front of you didn't know it. And I think that it's very important for their future. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling this morning. Would anybody like to respond to that? Phil King?
Yes. Caller, thank you for bringing that up. Because you make several points with your phone call. One, you were the parent of the child, and you thought there was something, you thought something about your child. Your teacher told you one thing, and you just thought, I don't know, that doesn't sound right. I want to congratulate you on doing what you're supposed to be doing, and it's looking out for the well-being of your child. Now, I do want to say this. The teacher is trained to teach. She's not trained as a psychologist, psychiatrist, therapist. Use your word. And that's one of the things I've learned about our city schools. I remember years ago at a meeting when Baxter Hobgood was still alive and he was sitting there, and the person leading the meeting said, teachers have to watch out for drug abuse. Teachers have to watch out for domestic abuse. Teachers have to watch out for this. Teachers have to watch for that. And Baxter finally got mad. He had had enough. And he spoke up and he said, when are teachers going to have time enough to teach? And I asked Linda Gilbert, that director of schools, what do you do with the teacher? Their job is to teach, not watch for these things. And Linda told me the answer, and that the schools have people who are trained to help handle these things. And going back to the caller, maybe the teacher in the first case just didn't know. But again, in defense of the teacher, that's not their job, so to speak. But their job, we here have the resources where the teacher can refer the child, whatever the condition may be. And not a lot of places have that. So you ought to take pride in our city school system that we do have people in place to help take these and get the child help, if you will. But again, I appreciate you bringing that up, and I appreciate you doing your job as a father.
That was Phil King with that response. Navanda?
Yes, this is Navanda, and I'd like to say that there is a process that's followed for your child to be diagnosed with ADHD. First, it starts with an evaluation by the physician. The teacher cannot recommend that a child has ADHD. It starts with an evaluation from the physician. Then the teacher completes an evaluation. Then the doctor provides the diagnosis. And once that diagnosis is provided, then the then the parent can work with the school system to ensure that the resources that the child needs in the school system are provided. But I want to make sure that for parents that may have a child that has that condition, that the appropriate process is to first seek medical attention, get the evaluation completed by the physician who actually facilitates that process, and then the teacher in turn fills out an evaluation as well. But the final diagnosis is from the physician, and at that point, the tools and resources can be provided in the school system to the parent.
That was Navonda Lilly with that follow-up. Right now, the time 9:13. Looks like Kevin Fisher wanted to say something else, Kevin.
Yeah. One of the reasons why I don't support standardized testing is because I don't believe it's an appropriate measure of how well a child is learning. And again, the important thing should be ensuring that the child is getting a quality education rather than, you know, any particular emphasis that they're learning this particular thing, such as what they're proposing now. My sister was born with myopic eye degeneration, and for the first, you know, 10 years she was in school, they thought that she was a slow learner. No one had bothered to stop and see what the problem was, and the problem actually turned out was that she couldn't see the board. When they took the time to actually see what the problem was and made the adjustments, she did well. So I think a lot of times teachers, like someone was saying, a lot of times teachers aren't prepared to know what all the potential learning disabilities are for a child, because sometimes they don't manifest themselves until later on in life. Again, that's one of the reasons why I'm not a big fan of standardized testing.
All right, thank you. That was Kevin Fisher, and I believe we have the same person on the phone in regards to the ADHD question. Did you have a follow-up question with that?
Yes. I just wanted to say, if they're not prepared for it and don't know what's going on, then they shouldn't say, no, that's not ADHD. I've been around that before. They should just tell them, go ahead and consult a physician, you know, a doctor. I mean, they should never said no, because that threw me off for a few years, and he struggled for a few years on that until he, like I said, he went to Siegel and got, you know, they said, look, he needs to go to the doctor for that ADHD. And that's what should have been said during his elementary years. I'll hang up.
All right, thank you very much for calling. Would anybody like to do a follow-up in regards to that statement that was made? Ms. Rainier?
I'm sorry for the experience that you had, but you didn't say the age of your child. Sometimes, as, let's say, a kindergarten child, a teacher might look at that little boy or girl and think, oh, that's an active child, you know, a normally developing active child. But as the child gets more into the academic endeavors through the years of school, and then the problem more or less exhibits itself. And so as the child gets older, the teacher becomes more aware that there's an issue. So if something happened early on with your child and you as the parent noticed that there was a problem, then that would be up to you probably to investigate whether that was with your teacher, whether that was with the principal, whether that was with your physician. But things do manifest themselves as the child gets older, and you can see that the scholastic endeavors become a little bit more difficult, and that may have been the problem that you had.
That was Nancy Rainier. Would anybody like to do a follow-up on the statement that was made by the caller? All right, let's go ahead and try to fit in a couple of more calls. Good morning. You're on WGNS. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The fellow that mentioned standardized testing, it seems to me there's more emphasis on the results of the standardized testing for the grading of the school system versus, you know, how our children are learning. And I'll hang up and listen to the comment.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Would anybody like to address his question?
Yeah, I appreciate the caller bringing that to our attention. Certainly standardized testing has its merits. At the same time, we might all could say that it has its demerits as well. When we look at, and I've mentioned this on numerous occasions, when we look at the different socioeconomic backgrounds of each child, the different living conditions, single parent, multi-parent, you have a variety of factors that come into play that disallow standardized testing from accurately measuring the progress of a student. So like Mr. Fisher, I am, although I'm an absolute supporter of Common Core, the RTI squared and the assessments that follow that, I am an absolute not a proponent of, you could certainly say, because they don't allow us to measure progress on an individual basis. They allow us to measure progress across the board. And when you have three different children in one room, you have three different levels of education need. And we can't assess each child, therefore, equally when each child brings a different set of gifts to the table. So I don't know if that addresses the caller's question or comment, but certainly standardized testing in terms of measuring something has merit. In terms of measuring the school's progress, it's certainly not a fair standard.
Jeffrey Herring with that response. Anybody like to do a follow-up? Kevin Fisher?
Yeah, I'm not a supporter of Kevin Fisher again. I'm not a supporter of standardized testing. I'm not a supporter of Common Core. If you ever take the time to take a look at the 2013 Tennessee Education Report Card and really look at the numbers, some of it was really pretty startling. Like I said, what I said earlier, 36% of the children in Murfreesboro City Schools aged 3 through 6, I mean grades 3 through 6, are scoring below proficient. Now, the question you have to ask yourself is that acceptable? If you're in a classroom with 30 students and 12 of the students are scoring below proficient, is the solution to put another testing program in place? No. I believe that we should be focusing further. Instead of putting a program in place like Common Core, which I'm very glad that legislators like Rick Womack and Senator Mae Beaver are pushing hard to get repealed, and I believe we're going to be successful. But it's going to be important that the parents, the community, work together to push this back, because I think the greater focus needs to be on ensuring that a child is getting a quality education rather than X's and O's or numbers on a page. The important thing is ensuring that they're getting the best education possible because they're our future leaders of tomorrow.
That is going to do it for the questions this morning. We covered a total of 15 different topics. Would everybody like to kind of do a close for themselves, kind of wrap it all up? If so, we can start with Wesley to close it out. Wesley, any closing remarks?
Well, thanks, and I enjoyed it today and certainly enjoyed the questions. Again, I'm Wesley Ballard, and I guess it's important to know that I'm running because I have a passion for creating growth for this community and growth for this for the state of Tennessee. To touch on just a moment about the standardized testing, I am for standardized testing to some degree. Now, the reason I'm for it is you have to have metrics from which to measure progress. And it's great to say someone is doing good, but how do you know they're really doing good compared to the student in Chicago, compared to the student in Houston, and how we're doing as a state progressing those students? I want to use my experience to advance the education for Murfreesboro students and work that through the school board. I have the time. I'm retired. I have a wonderful career with Nissan. I can be full-time and bother the heck out of the director on being on getting our education system in place. This is my full-time job. I have my skills that are really focused on. Ms. Rainier mentioned just a moment ago about the school. Well, we're great to have the overall school ready to go in the fall, but we don't know whether it's going to be July 21st, July 25th, or we don't know whether it's going to be August 1st. I will tell you, we'll know when that next school is going to open and that everything's going to be in that school, or somebody's going to be talking about it and they're not going to be happy about it.
That was Wesley Ballard. Kevin Fisher, you're next on the list.
Hi, my name's Kevin Fisher, and again, I ask for your vote on both March 26th through the early voting period up to April 10th and also on April 15th. Albert Einstein said, only a fool keeps doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I decided to run for the school board because I believe in giving parents more options, more choices, you know, giving them a stronger voice in their child's education, because education is important. Thank you, and I look forward to talking with all of the parents and working with you all to ensure that our child is getting quality education, because this is important. Thank you.
That was Kevin Fisher. Jeffrey Herring is next on the list. Jeffrey? Doesn't matter which mic.
Great. This is Jeffrey Herring. Hey, thank you all for joining us this morning. Thank you, the candidates, for being on the panel. Thank you for the opportunity to share my views. And for you to hear that, I will assure you of one thing. I do not have all the answers. If you're looking for a candidate that does, it is definitely not me. If you're looking for somebody who's going to work hard and try to help find those answers, I'm certainly applying for the job. I certainly hope that you'll consider my vote. April the 15th, Jeffrey Herring.
That was Jeffrey Herring. Phil King is next on the list. Phil?
Thanks, Scott. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. I appreciate y'all's time this morning. I said the two main reasons I chose to run was, one, I firmly believe that good schools help attract good jobs to town. And I think that's something we can't have enough of. But What I've learned, too, the other reason I wanted to run was I want to get out to the public and let them know what's going on with the city schools. I feel they have a right to know. And also in informing the public of what's going on, I'd like to ask for their suggestions, their ideas, about to let them know the obstacles and some of the hurdles that we have and solicit their response and their support. I think the people ought to know. And again, my name is Phil King, running for City School Board, and I appreciate your vote April 15th or early voting.
Navonda Lilly.
Good morning, and thank you all for tuning in. Thanks for the opportunity to be here this morning. I'm passionate about supporting our youth and providing them with an education that aids them in maximizing their learning potential. I'm comfortable with change, and I tackle every problem seeking a positive resolution. I'm a team-oriented and know how to lead or follow to get things done. I will stand my ground, listen, and consider every point of view. I am a person of principle who can be counted on no matter how difficult the task. I ask for your vote on doing early vote in March 26th through April the 10th, and on April the 15th, I ask that you remember Navonda Lilly for City School Board, a voice for teachers, parents, and students.
Thank you. Nancy Rainier is next on the list. Nancy?
Hi. Thank you, Scott, for having us today. I'd like to ask for everyone's vote. I have a unique perspective, having been in the classroom for as many years as I have been. When I first moved here, I taught at Las Casas for 2 years. With Larry Stewart, and then moved to the city in, I hate to say this because I don't tell everybody how old I am, moved here in 1981 to the city school system. I know the day-to-day workings of a school. I think that gives me a unique perspective. I hope that you'll consider me in the election on April the 15th. And getting back to this school calendar and the opening of Overall Creek, I think that was a miscommunication on my part. I have not pulled up the school calendar. I don't know the opening date of the school year. That's what the date was as far as when is it going to be ready. It's supposed to be ready the first day of school. Sorry about that. Thanks.
That was Nancy Rainier. Collier Smith is going to close it out. Collier?
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to all the listeners. It has been a joy for me to serve on the city school board. I really enjoy the input that parents give to me when I'm out and about at church and at the ball field, the swim meets. People do not seem to hesitate to want to give some input about children's educations, and as they very well should. I think that because I have the time and I'm a hard worker who is very interested in children and supporting our teachers. I really, really want to support our teachers. I'm a good candidate for the school board, and I hope that you will remember me, Collier Smith, as you vote on April 15th. Thank you.
That is going to do it for this morning's show. Right now, the time, 9:25. Temperature outside now at 55 degrees. Stay with us. Truman Jones comes your way next.